Today's Shi'ez Masechet Zoch and Daf Tzadik Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Tzadik Zayin on the Beis, five lines from the bottom. The Gemara says that the Pasuk says Mincha, and explains the Gemara what do we learn from the word Mincha. Ma Mincha, just like when we speak about a Karma Mincha, Ein in the Chalas, it's only eaten Ela Zechrei Kohuna, it's only eaten To male kahanim, af kol in the cholim el zechrikuna. So too, we learn other kabanas that are only eaten by zechrei kuhuna. The Rashi asked the question: if we want to learn the halacha that something's only eaten to zechrei kuhuna, why do we learn it from mincha? Asked Rashi. Why don't we learn it from chatas v'asham, which are also only eaten by Zichrei Kahuna? So Rashi answers, because Chatas Asham, the Torah says the words Kodesh Kedoshim Hi, and that those words seem to indicate that the halacha of Zichrei Kahuna are only by Kodesh Kedoshim. We, as we're going to see, want to apply it in other situations, want to apply it in other situations as well. Tosfos explains, because the Hekesh to Chatas Asham was needed to teach us other halachas, and therefore it's not available to teach us this halacha of Zichrei Kahuna. But the Hekesh to Mincha is available to teach us that it's only Nachal, that it's only eaten to Zichrei Kahuna. Mahi, so ask the Gemara, what are we trying to learn from a Korban Mincha? Points out the Gemara, Ichatus Reg Hashem, if you're going to suggest that we want to learn the halacha that chatas for Asham are only eaten by Zichrei Kahuna, ask the Gemara, that behedik sibah, that the Torah says explicitly. The Torah says, kozoch b'kahanim yechlano, and from that's a pasuk by Asham, and b'chatas the Torah says the words, kozoch b'kahanim yechel oisop. So the Torah is quite clear that these kabanas are only eaten by Kahanim. If to tell me that Shom et Sibur are also only eaten by Zichrei Kahuna, says the Gemara Merubi the Krokosi. That halacha I know from what it says in the parasha Matas Kahuna. The pasuk says Bekayish Kedoshim Tachlenu Kazocha Yoichel Eisai, and we learn from that pasuk Liman Hashem et Sibur Shenen Nachalam El Zichrei Kahuna. That pasuk comes to teach us that Shom et Sibur are only eaten by Zichrei Kahuna, says the Gemara. So we started the Shia by saying that the halacha of Zichrei Kahuna is learned from Mincha. So the question is, what are we learning? So says the Gemara that indeed we are learning from the Korban Mincha that Shalmit Sibur are only eaten by Zichrei Kahuna. We asked the question that why don't we learn it from the word Yoichel Oisai? Says the Gemara, actually Tanoihi. There's a machloikis Tanoim from where we learn this halacha. Ikad nafle mahacha, that some that learn it from this, from the person, from the pasuk of Yoichel Oisai, and some learn it from the Korban Mincha. We learned further, the pasuk says, V'zoyis HaTorah, and it mentions Chatos. So the Gemara wants to know, what do we learn from Chatos? Says the Gemara, we learn, Ma Chatos Mekadeshus Bebelua, that just like we learned in our previous year, the Karm Chatos is Mekadesh, anything that comes into contact with it, that absorbs from it. Af Kol, that is the Halacha, by all Kabbanas, that whatever food comes in contact with them, the Kadeshus Bebelua. We learned in Torah the word Asham, so the Gemara wants to learn, no, what do we learn from the word Asham? Says the Gemara, Asham, when we speak about a carbon Asham, ain't Shvir Vishalya. Shvir and Shalya, Shvir is the skin that covers a baby in the womb, Shalya is the sack. They are not Kadosh by a carbon asham, and the reason they're not kosher by carbon asham is because they can't be because a carbon asham only could be a zocher, it only could be a male animal, and therefore these parts where you have a baby are obviously not applicable by carbon asham. Af kol, so too by all carbonus chatas that come from the caves from females, ain't shvir v'shalya kodesh bom, that part of the animal is not considered, that part of the animal is not considered kodesh. Says the Gemara, kesavar, obviously the Tana of this brisa is of the opinion that v'lodz kodesh b'aviyosim kem kodeshim, they only become kodesh at the time that they are born. And therefore, if, even though the animal has in it this shvir v'shalya, the baby did not yet get born. And if the baby did not yet get born, the halacha is that it's not kadosh. And furthermore, says the Gemara, what we learn over here is Daran Efshem Mishi Efshem. This halacha we're learning from a carbon asham. And as we said, a carbon asham, by definition, is only a male. And since the carbon asham is only a male, obviously this halacha is not passable by carbon asham. Yet the Gemara says that isn't an impediment. That isn't an impediment to learn from the asham, which is a male, to other carbonus, which are female. The question that I saw Rashi asks, is why can't we learn this halacha from the shlamim, which the shlamim also, from the oil, I mean, which is also a zohar and has the, and therefore the shvir and the shalya are not kaddish. Says the Gemara, says Rashi, the Gemara did not want to learn this halacha from the carbon oila, because we know that the carbon oila has certain chumris, that the carbon oila is a carbon, as we've discussed numerous times, which is completely burnt in the mizbeach. Since it's a carbon that's completely burnt in the mizbeach, it may not be a good model to use for other carbonus that are not completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Continues the Gemara. We learned from here, from the word Meluim, that we learned from the Kabbanis that were brought by the Kahanim during the Shivas Yimei Meluim as they were preparing to begin the Avoid in the Mishkan. Says the Gemara Meluim, when we speak about Meluim, the Aloch is, Maisriseim Bisrefa, whatever is left over is burnt, because the Pasuk says explicitly, Vim yavos mi b'sar ha-miluim u'men alechem ha-raboik v'sraftis ha-nois v'eish lo'yoch l'kodeshu v'ein b'alchaim v'mesreim. The halacha is there was no living animal that was in the category of mois ha-miluim. Carbon tzibur, a person who could bring his own carbon could perhaps at times back bring two animals, another animal as a backup to the, if something will happen to the first animal. But that doesn't apply by carbon tzibur, by the carbon meluim. Says the one, af kol misreifa. So too the halacha is by all kabanas that the moisture of the meat is burnt. However, vein balachayim b'nisreim. If there's a backup animal with somebody who is donating a b'chaim as a carbon, and he was magdished two animals as a backup, and the halacha is that if one has this backup animal, the halacha is that the second animal, which is not used, does not get burnt. Shlomim, the pasuk says in the pasuk of Azayis HaTayr, the word shlomim. What do we learn from shlomim? Says the Gemara, mas shlomim mefaglim. Just like there's a halacha a pigle by shlomim, that is shlomim. If somebody had a machshava on the carbon of chutzes manoi, the carbon becomes pigel, umespaglim, and not only is the shlomim become pigel, but the nesachim that are brought along with the carbon also become pigel. Af kol mefaglim mespaglim, by all kabanas, the carbon itself becomes pigel, and also the nesachim that are brought along with the carbon are also become pigel. The Tosfos has a different interpretation than this Gemara. Taisus says that the Gemara means much simpler. The halacha is that if you had a machshavas pigel on the boss or on the animal, that will make that the entire carbon is pigel. Another pshat that the Shita suggests that it's referring to the lechem. As we've learned many kabbonis, lechem is brought along with the carbon, and we're learning here that the lechem that comes along with the carbon also becomes pigel if the carbon is pigel. Says the Gemara, "Mamasnisa tana mishmeid Rabbi Kiva." In a brisa we learned the name of Rabbi Kiva that the pasuk says, "Vazois tayrus a mincha ma mincha mekadesh is bebelua." Just like when we speak about the carbon mincha, it's mekadesh anything that absorbs from it. Af kol that is the same by all carbonis. That if some of the carbon got absorbed by something else, whatever absorbs from it has the same din from as the carbon. So the mefarshim ask, how can we learn all carbonis from mincha? Mincha is a carbon that's flour and oil. It's not the same consistency as meat. And since it's not the same consistency as meat, they ask, how can we learn a meat carbon from a mincha? So the Sefer Mamata Yehuda answers that when we have a hekesh, the hekesh is something that we don't ask these kind of questions. A hekesh is strong that this kind of question would not be valid. Another answer, as we're about to learn, the Gemara is going to point out that this halacha belua is not just taught by Karban Mincha, it's also taught by Karban Chatas. So once we know from a Karban Chatas that there's a din or belua, saying that this belua by Mincha is not that problematic. But now ask the Gemara, if that's the case, why do we need a pasuk v'itzrich l'michtav mincha v'itzrich l'michtav chatos? Why do we have to have the same lesson taught both by karban mincha and by karban chatos? Answers the Gemara, the yashminin mincha, if we only would have learned the halacha mincha, as we said, maybe it can't be a source for this halacha, the aida the rikika, since it's so soft, mivla, aval. But when we're speaking about chatos, which is meat, which is not as absorbent, emaloi, v'yashmin chatos, if we said the halacha by chatos, that's what we would say, mishum dekarer, the meat, the fat that comes out of the karban chatos is very serious, and that's why it has the ability to make a blia. Ava mincha, that what comes out of the karban mincha is not that fat, and therefore emaloi, it doesn't have this ability. That's why tzricha, we needed to have both psukim. We learned further, chatos. The pasuk said the word chatos to teach us ma chatos ena ba'el menachulin. Just like a karma chatos can only come from chulin, af ubiyoyim, and the carbon can only be brought by day and not by night. Ubiyoday aminis, you have to use your right hand to do the avoida, not with your left hand. Afko, so to all kabbonis, is the aloch enaba el menachulin. It could only come from chulin. Biyoim, the carbon has to be brought by day. Biyada minis, it has to be used the right hand. Says the Gemara, that's what we learn from chatos. Ask the Gemara, and now the chatos menolam, how do we know that these halachas are applicable by karma chatos? Answers the Gemara, Amr Chizam Akra, the chekva kain aras par chatos shaloi. Mishloi, v'loi mishel tzibur, v'loi mishel maisa. Ask the Gemara, this that we said, that a carbon is only brought biyoyim, we're learning, and with the right hand, we're learning from chatos. Ask the Gemara, biyoyim, the halacha, that carbon is brought only by day, is not learned from the chatos, it's learned from what it says in the pasuk, biyoyim tzavayis nafka. So it says clearly it's only done by day. Answers the Gemara, Kadei Naspa. It wasn't necessary, says the Gemara, to learn the halacha from Chatos. We know this halacha even without learning it from Karma Chatos. For ask the Gemara further, V'yodei aminis, that the carbon has to be brought with the right hands, as the Gemara, but the Rabbi Babachana nafka. That Allah has learned from what Rabbi Babachana taught us. Dama Rabbi Babachana Amr Shlokish, Kam Makum Shinema Etzba, wherever the Torah uses the finger, for example, the Torah says, V'loka Chakoyim Adama Betzbay, or where the Torah says Kahuna, and El Yamin. That comes to teach us that you have to do it with the right hand. And the Gemara is assuming now that it, whether it says the word Etzba, or whether it says the word Kayin, the Avoda has to be done with the right hand. So now the question is, in all Kabbalas, does the Torah say it has to be brought by a Kayin? So we're learning from that, that it's the right hand. So why, ask the Gemara, must it be learned from the Chatos? Answers the Gemara, Kedei Naspa. Indeed, it wasn't necessary to learn it from Chatos. We could learn it from the fact that the Torah says the word Kayin. Vibay Seima, another reason why we have to learn from Chatos, says the Gemara, Sovel Krib Shimon. He holds like Krib Shimon. Dama, the Krib Shimon's opinion is, Etzba Loibay Kuhuna. If it says the word Etzba, it doesn't have to say the word Kayin, and we know it means the right hand. However, if the Torah just says the word Kuhuna, that is inadequate that it should mean that right hand by Etzba. And if not, we wouldn't know that you use the right hand, and that's why we have to learn it from Chatos. Osham, the pasuk said Osham, Ma Osham Atzmaisim Matorim, just like the bones of the carbon ash Osham, after you were makriv the carbon, you could use the bones of the carbon to make vessels out of them. Oh, so too, the oila, even though the halacha is that all of the oila is burnt on the mizbeach, the bones on the mizbeach are not burnt on the mizbeach. They can be used, the halacha, they can be used from the for any purpose that you want. So Tosfos asks, since why do we have to learn this halacha from Osham? Why can't we learn it from Chatos? Says Tosfos that since we have the Chatos teaching us other halachas, that's why we have to learn this halacha from Osham. Another answer says Rashi. Rashi says that by Osham, the Torah says, L'koyin loy yiyya. And what we learn from that, it belongs to the, all of the bones belong to the Kahanim. And therefore, that halacha is primarily stated by Osham, and therefore, it's learned from Osham, not from anywhere else. Amar Rava continues the Gemara. Amar Rava says, Rava Pshitali, it is clear to me. We've been speaking so much about the blood of the Karma Chatos that splatters and our beged, that the halacha requires kibbutz. Says the Gemara, it's obvious to me that if blood of a Karma Chatos splattered on a beged, and then on top of that, oil of blood splattered on the top of that stain, the halacha is that even though only dam chatos requires kibbutz and not dam oilam, since the dam chatos was on the bottom, that's what got absorbed first. And since it got absorbed first, the beged requires kibbutz. And of course, the Rishonim point out that this halacha is not specifically if there's chatos on the bottom and oila on the top. It could be any chata, any carbon on top of the blood of a carbon chatos. But now, by Rava, dam oila lamata. On the bottom, you had oila blood, adem chatos lamala, and chatos blood is on top of it. Mahu. What do we say in this case? Do we say mishum negeya bebeged? Do we say that why did the Torah require cleaning a beged on which dam chata splattered? Because this blood is touching this beged. And here too, even though the blood is in the upper layer, it's still touching the beged, and therefore kibbutz is required. Idilma, the reason kibbutz is required is mishum beluuhu, what got absorbed into the beged. And therefore, if it's not absorbed, because there's something else that's absorbed, halay bala, and therefore the halacha is that there is no require of kibbutz. And again, point out the mefarshim that if this is the basis of the question, it wouldn't make a difference if it's carbon blood that's on the bottom or it's any other blood that's on the bottom. The fact that there's blood on the bottom, that prevents that there should be an obligation for kibbutz. Hada pashta. And then the Gemara says this question was ultimately resolved that ain't on kibbutz, that there's no requirement for kibbutz. But points out the Karen Ira, that even though the Gemara is telling us that if there's other blood below that got absorbed into the Begid, the upper Chattis blood won't require kibbutz, it will be potter, it will be Chayiv Greira. There will be a Chayiv, the obligation to scrape it off. The Nesivus HaKodesh disagrees. And the Nesivus HaKodesh says there's no obligation to do anything with the upper layer of dam. So the Gemara spoke about a Beged that became Tamei and requires Tefillah. And the question is, if there's any dirt, blood, anything on this Beged, so we know that to be matar something, we have to put it into the mikvah, is the dirt that's there a chatzitza and prevent tefillah. So normally, the halacha is a chatzitza is only a chatzitza midaraisa if it covers most of the body or what we're taking to the mikvah, and it's something that bothers us. But if it's not something that bothers us, it's only chatzitza midrabanan. And again, if it's only covering a minority of what we're taking to the mikvah, then if we're makbar on it, even though it's a miyit, it chayas chatzitza drabanan. If not, it's not a problem at all. Amar Rava. So Rava says, it's clear to me, pshitali, dam, a beged. If there's a dam on your beged, it has to be taken to the mikvah. Chaytzitz, that dam is a chatzitza, and you have to clear it off before you take it to the mikvah. However, if this garment belongs to a tabach is a butcher who isn't bothered with blood on his baged, so then the halacha is, ain't a chaytzitz, he doesn't care, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. Of course, explained the Mefarshim, we're speaking about a case where it's not covering rubai, it's not covering most of the garment. But if it's covering most of the garment, even though it's not makbid, he doesn't care, it would be a chatzitza medrabanan. And similarly, revava begdoi, if there's a grease stain on your beged, it's a chaytzitz, it's a chatzitza. However, v'moich revavhu, if you're a person that sells oil, you're a person that sells grease, so obviously this is not something that bothers you, and again, if it's not roiv of your beged, ain't a chaytzitz. But now, ask the Gemara by Rava, dam or revav al bigdai, if you have both blood and grease on your beged, mahu, says the Gemara, im tabachu, so isn't the question, suggests the Gemara, obvious. Im tabachu, if he's a butcher, tabaglim shim revav. Indeed, the blood doesn't bother him, the grease bothers him. So moich revavhu, and if you sell oil, tabaglim shim dam, then the blood is an issue, even though the grease is not. Answers. The Gemara Leitzricha, the question Rava was asking was regarding an individual, David Havaha, that is both a butcher and sells grease. Do we say a chadalei kapit? When do we say a person is not particular? Only when it's one thing. But tati kapit are two things he's concerned. Idumma, this person, since he is both involved with blood, he's a butcher, and he's also a grease salesperson, therefore, the halacha is he's like kapid, and it won't be considered a chatzitza. The Ramah teaches us that a blood stain on a butcher's body are not a chatzitza, and somebody goes to the mikveh that way, the tefillah is fine. Similarly, says the Magen Avraham, that a butcher could perform the tilas yadayim with blood stains on his hands because it's not something that bothers him. Dilchus Kedayos tells us that the moil is allowed to do netilas yadayim with blood-stained hands because a moil is like a butcher and the blood stains on his hands aren't a chatzitza. On the contrary, they show his love for the mitzvah that his hands are dirty from the mitzvah of Mila. says the Rama that the woman should not rely on this leniency, and when she goes to the mikveh, she should be prepared to remove anything from her body before she goes to the mikveh, even if it's something that doesn't bother her. Even though it's not a chatzitza and doesn't invalidate the tefillah, she may come, if she's not going to be careful, to take any foreign objects off her body, we have to be concerned, says the Rama, that she's going to leave maybe something on the body that bothers her. The Shvus Yaakov disagrees with the Rama and the Skedalis. He says the Rava's leniency that we're learning in our Gemara is limited, he says, to blood stains on the butcher's garment. It doesn't refer to stains on a person's body or hands. But we found on Daf Lamed Hey that the Gemara says that a kohen could do avoida even if there's blood of kavanas on his feet and the zara floor. But the Gemara said only when the blood is moist, because moist blood is not a chatzitza. Says the Shvus Yaakov, from here we see that dry blood that's on the kohen's body is considered a chatzitza, and would disqualify the avoda, even though kahanim, like butchers, are always dealing with blood, and therefore they don't care about it. Why is it a chatzitza? So we see from here, says the Shvus Yaakov, when we speak about the blood not being a chatzitza by a butcher, etc., it's only on garments that he's wearing, but not on his actual body. Hanulach dam chatos. The Mishnah now begins to discuss when we distribute parts of the karbonos, who is entitled to a share and who is not. So says the Mishnah, a tful yoy, a person who had to go to the mikveh. So the halacha is that under normal circumstances, a person who went to the mikveh is not considered completely tor until he had Herif Shemesh, until night came, and therefore he's not allowed to eat kachim. He is allowed to, however, to eat Maisa Sheni. Tful Yoim or Mechusel Kippurim. Sometimes a person is tamei, dalocha dictates that he's not allowed to eat kachim, not just because he went to the mikveh and had a Herif Shemesh, but he also brought kabonis that he's obligated to bring. So it teaches us the Mishnah, if somebody is a Mechusel Kippurim, and a Chalkim, they don't get a shear, even though tonight they'll bring the carbon today, they'll go to the mikveh today, and they'll have Herif Shemesh tonight, still the halacha is ain't a chalkim b'kotshim lechel erev. They're not allowed to eat kotshim to eat tonight. They're not entitled to a share. The Ayala Sashachar says that the division, the giving out the kotshim was in the Azara. And the halacha is that a mechusel kippurim and a tful yoyim are not allowed to go into the Azara. So he asks, why does the Mishnah have to tell us that they don't get a share of kachim? They're not allowed to go into the Azara to get their share. Says the Yalos Sashachar, that from here we see you don't have to actually be in the Azara to get your share. Rashi says, since they're not able to eat from these kabonis when the meat is being distributed, that's why they don't get a share. And according to this, says the Yalos Sashachar, so too, if you have a kohen who can't eat a kazayis of carbon meat, so such a person is not considered roi lechel and he doesn't get a shear. The question that he discusses, that what's going to be somebody who right now is very satiated and he's not hungry, but by tonight he'll be hungry. Will he be entitled to a portion or not? And he says that's not considered. Issue that's not considered a person who's disqualified from getting a shear, and he could get a shear. Oinen, somebody who lost one of the close relatives, that the Torah suggests that such a person has to be and Avelis. It's one of the seven close relatives. As we're going to learn very extensively in the Gemara has discussion, when is somebody an Oinon and when he's not. Says the Mishnah, Oinon Nageya, an Oinon is allowed to touch Kachim, however, ain't a makrif, he's not allowed to be the coin that's bringing the carbon when he's an Oshim, and he's not allowed to eat Kachim, and therefore, ain't a chaylik, he doesn't get a shear, even though Lech Alerev, it's talking about only eating by night. The says the Rambam that this kula that we're learning that an oinon could touch is only by an oinon, but a tful yoim and a mechusuk kapurim, the halacha is would not be allowed to touch kachim, allowed another touch at either. The Rambam also tells us that if somebody who is an oinon did avodah, it disqualifies the avodah, and this applies both by carbon yochin and by carbon tzibur. Says the Rambam, if a kohen was in the middle of doing the avodah, and while he was in the middle of doing the avodah on a carbon, he became aware that he's an oinon, that one of the close relatives that he has to do avails for died, the halacha is that he has to stop the avodah where he is, stop doing whatever he's doing in the middle of the avodah. That's the opinion of the Rambam. However, Rashi Masech, the Yuma's opinion is that if he began doing the avodah when he wasn't an oinon, and then while doing the avodah, Rachman Tzlan, he became an avodah, then the halacha is that he doesn't have to stop. He could finish what he's doing. Bali Mumin, Kahanam Bali Mumin, Bain Bali Mumin Oivrim, whether they are Bali Mumin with a mum that will get better, Bain Bali Mumin Kvuin, or they have about a mum that's permanent, Chalkin, they get a share of the kabbalas for Oivrim, Avaloi Makriven. They're not allowed to do the Avodah. Kol Shein Royal Avodah, any Kohen who was not able to do the avodah when this carbon was being brought, and a chaylik mebasser is not entitled to get a share of the meat that's being distributed. For kol she'ein lo mebasser, and whoever is not entitled to get a portion of the meat, ein lo b'oiris is not entitled to get a portion of the hides. Afilu tami b'shaz rikas damim, even if the kohen that we're speaking about was Tomei at the time of Zrikas Dam, but he was Tar B'Shas Chektich Halovim. That means he went to the mikveh after Zrikas Dam, and then afterwards Harif Shemesh began, and we know that the parts of the carbon, the meat of the carbon that's put on the Mizbeach, could be done at night, so by the time night came, he was ready Tar. The Halacha is such an individual, Ein Achel B'Basa does not get a shear of the meat. Shenamar, because the Tarak Dosha says, Makar is Dama Shlomim, Vesachelev, Bnei Aharon, Loisiya Shoika Yomen, Lemono, and the Pasuk speaks about Zrikas Adam, and the Torah says, if you weren't Tahor from the Zrikas Adam through the Hektech Halovim, if you weren't Tahor throughout, then the Halacha is that you're not entitled. The Torah Tumima says, what about a reverse case? What would be the halacha, says the Torah Tumima, if somebody was tar at the time of Zrikas Adam, but tamei at the time of the Hektech Halovim? So he says that certainly he's not entitled to get a share of the basar, because he's tamei at a time when the basar is normally distributed. And if he's tummy at the time of the bus is distributed, he's certainly not entitled to get the piece of meat. The Mefarshim asks, why do we need a pasuk to tell us the halacha that the Mishnah says? The Hektech Halovim, as we just discussed, is done at night. The Zrikas Adam is done by day. So as far as we're concerned, the entire time that we look at is the day. So just like we began the Mishnah, that a tful yoim is not entitled to get a shear. Somebody who was tameh at the time of zrik stam is no different. And therefore, why is it necessary for the Mishnah even to focus on this thing? So the Sefer Zevach Taida answers, since the time of eating the meat is at the time of Hekta Chalovim, which is at night, and since at night, from the beginning of the night, as we explained, he's an individual that can eat from the meat, so the fact that during the day he was tamei, during the day he wasn't able to eat the meat, should maybe not be relevant. The reason it shouldn't be relevant is because at that point, because when the meat is eaten should be the critical point. Teaches us the Mishnah that no, if he was disqualified at the time of Zrika, he's disqualified from getting a portion. The Mishnah spoke about Ein Roi L'Avoida, somebody who can't do the Avoida. And the question that the Sefer Chedushei Chemed discusses, that there was an individual who was a business, thought he should be retired. And the ownership of the business, the employer, were reluctant to let go of a worker. But that worker who they were reluctant to let go, comes one day, and he says, I want to have a conversation with you, my boss, my employer. He says, maybe I should retire. This job is too hard for me, and I should take another job. And the question that's discussed is, this person, they were reluctant to let him go. They were reluctant to let this worker go because this person they just didn't feel comfortable in letting go. But now that this person on his own has chosen to maybe leave, wonderful. So he says, there's a halacha of lifnei ivel yesit mechshol. And when somebody asks you for advice, you have to give him the honest advice that's good for him. And therefore, even though you want him to go, you have no right to tell him go. The best you could do is say, maybe you should talk this over with somebody else. And he quotes a story that happened with Rabbi Yoam Mishkovsky, who was Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Knesset Chizkiyo, and he was the Rav of Kfar Chassidim. He said there was one time that there was a decision made by the administration of the yeshiva that there was a boy learning the yeshiva they felt should not be remaining in this yeshiva, and they were going to let him go. Before this bacher was aware of the yeshiva's decision, he came to Rosh Yeshiva and he asked him, maybe I should leave and go somewhere else. And the Rosh Yeshiva told him, I don't think that that's a good idea. When the other members of the administration became aware of what the Rosh Yeshiva told him, they were quite upset. They said, we're looking for a way to have this boy leave the yeshiva. Why didn't you take this opportunity? So Rosh Yeshiva answered, yes, for the yeshiva it would be best if this boy left. When somebody comes asks us for advice, I have to give him advice what's best for him, not what's best for me. And therefore, even though it would be best for us that this boy should leave the yeshiva, that's not the advice we give him. We give him the advice which is best for him.